And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
I didn't have a new one, so I figured I'd play that for you real quick.
Old gold.
Real quick, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. I actually went and I got a fuse there yesterday.
Hey, did that work?
Yeah, it did, totally. 20-amp mini fuse, it was perfect. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And it's funny because whenever I was looking to get the new fuse, I was like, oh, man, I forgot to check if it's a mini fuse or if it's a big fuse. Dude looked it up for me because that's a mini one.
He knew.
I'm like, oh, awesome. Thank you,
man. Can I just say that, you know, one of the great joys of my life is sitting next to actual musicians and artists when with headphones on listening to that podcast theme and looking over and seeing the look of, what the hell?
Is it there singing?
That's always great.
That's Patrick.
Yes.
Okay,
that's
great.
An original composition.
I was about to ask who did it. It kind of sounds like the O'Reilly's theme song. O'Reilly's.
Well, maybe you're
not.
Maybe you should be a jingle singer.
I'm just saying, it was familiar.
That's my thing. I could write jingles. We could get real.
I watched the most fantastic. By the way, Parmalee is with us. We're going to totally dive in. Hello, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. I watched the most fascinating show on Netflix. It was this this thing. This guy worked for David Letterman, and he would do like whatever his record collection thing. And it was all these Broadway type musicals that they would do for special corporate events. So it would be like Walmart the musical, or the Texaco the musical, and they would do these, and like nobody knew they existed. But what they would do is afterwards they would take the records, they would record the performance, and they would give them to attendees to the conferences. It was the craziest stuff, like the General Electric musical. I mean, it's,
that stuff is so rare, it's worth a fortune.
Well, it was really fascinating. It's on Netflix. I turned it on just...
What's it called?
Bathtubs Over Broadway.
Oh, that's a good title.
I've seen that. I didn't know what it... Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but that don't sound good.
I put it on just so I could have some background music or noise while I was doing some work. Mm-hmm. And I stopped working and I just started watching. I'm like, this is really crazy. Who knew?
What was the soundtrack to Walmart like?
It was like literally a Broadway musical, like where they acted as though they were employees at Walmart and they were just doing Walmart
that
stuff.
Maybe the worst Broadway musical ever.
I'm going to get some shampoo on aisle 9.
Well, yeah.
Here comes one of those
we
people of Walmart.
We need a clean up on aisle 4.
Well, he was making a joke about how they might be high from the fumes from the paint section. I mean, it was great. It was really entertaining because it's done. Like a lot of these were done by the people like who wrote Fiddler in the Roof or Chicago and all these famous plays. And they're all the actors like Martin Short was in some of them.
You gotta have a song about how there's not enough people, like not enough cashiers.
Right.
You know, too many people in the checkout line. You know,
I'm sure they had
a dramatic song.
I'm sure they had that.
More cashiers.
We've got 100
I don't know why
checkouts,
I'm Robert Goulet for this particular impersonation, but yeah, in my mind, it's all Robert Goulet.
That's what you hear.
I hear it.
So Parmalee is in the studio. Matt Scott's not here though.
He's not here.
He's hunting.
He's hunting.
Living the life.
Living the life, man. He's like, I'm off. I'm gone, man. So hopefully he brings back some deer meat. That's the whole purpose. So like, we're going to let you go hunting.
That's what I told him. I said, don't you come back without meat now.
Yeah.
Barry and Josh. Do you like venison? Do you like deer meat?
I love it, man. Love it. We stock the freezer and keep it, make a lot of sausage and hamburger patties. And just eat. I mean,
how do you guys daily. How do y'all prepare yours? Do you soak it? A lot of people soak it overnight and kind of.
I think when they process it and have put beef fat in it, so it helps tremendously. Yeah. And when they make the sausage, it's the same. I guess they. I don't know how to make sausage. It's good.
I mean, look. Throw it in the pan, honest. Throw it on the grill, and call it a day.
Nothing as good as real beef. you know,
a
real pork sausage.
You know, I don't know, man. Deer sausage to me is better.
Yeah, deer sausage
is probably the best on anything. You ever do like summer sausage where you do like the deer sausage and then you have the cheese and everything? You do kind of a meat and cheese thing.
Yeah. Mm,
there's nothing better than deer sausage.
We still had some in the freezer. I could have brought you some. I'll just bring some by.
Yeah, there's none in my fridger.
My fridger?
Your fridger or freezer?
Fridger. I got a smoker. I've been wanting to get a smoker for a long time. I finally got one about a month ago, and I did a brisket, 2 weeks ago, I guess. First one ever. Turned out great.
Really?
A brisket is, first off, it's a very expensive piece of meat, and it took me 15 hours to cook this thing. I was up at 2 a.m. because I didn't realize it was going to take that long.
I can tell everybody's hungry.
Yeah.
It's almost lunchtime.
Talking about food.
Big D, actually, we were talking about cobblers the other day, so he went home and made one, and he brought some in today, and it was actually pretty good. Yeah. It was really good. Big D cobbler. Can bake.
No, I'm not a good baker, but it was all right. It was all right. Patrick, I wanted to ask you, I saw a thing on the news about the NCAA allowing players to get paid?
State of California,
it's just California, or is it?
And I think that got... Didn't that
it passed, I thought.
I saw something recently where it said that the judge was gonna was holding out on it or something. But what does it say?
I have no idea, actually.
Do you guys think that NCAA players should get paid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think they're already getting paid?
Yeah, I feel like so.
I feel bad for the linemen. They're probably not getting paid.
Oh, that's tough.
But your big running back and quarterbacks.
Probably.
I'm going to sit here and say that's not happening. You guys are all wrong. College football is a beautiful sport, and it's pure, and it's true.
Okay, well, then we'll talk about basketball, because we know that's not. Or baseball, or whatever.
So I'm looking. The California bill says that, it's gone, but they're saying that the NCAA is saying that this is unconstitutional.
It's
going to take a while to play out. But here's what I'm hoping for. The biggest thing that could come of this is that eventually the students will get paid, the student athletes, and most importantly, we can have NCAA football on the PlayStation back, because that has been a glaring omission from my yearly purchase since they stopped it, in 2014, I think was the last one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
NCAA football on the PlayStation is the best. I love the Madden games and whatever, but they're not as good as playing with your college team, because they got all the fight songs and everything, and it's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you always make yourself the quarterback, and you're this great star, or you're the tailback or something.
Do you guys do that on the bus? Y'all play video games? What do y'all do?
We were in we had this RBI baseball game that we were just, at one point in time, just in a mad tournament, man. Everybody was just...
RBI baseball, on the original NES? Like the old school?
No, it was new school. I think it was PlayStation 4 or something that. I don't know. One of those, but...
And then our tech guys or lighting guys were constantly up there doing all the
they would get in fights early games.
And then I came and beat all of them, every single one of them, and they all hated me.
And the game's been gone ever since.
Yeah.
It disappeared.
I found it. It's in my
I just threw it away.
I was thinking you had an old fashioned Nintendo.
Oh man, those
with
are so
RBI
fun.
Baseball we used to play back in 1989.
Mm. You know what we do have though? We have the Atari, the old school Atari
from the truck stop.
It's the new one,
with the USB plug-in
remotes and all that.
No,
but
I
it's got 100 and some games.
It looks like cool.
Crap. It works like crap. It's,
those games are hard, man.
You know the funnest part about those things is making them work. Because once they you finally figure out how to make it work and it stops glitching and everything for 13 minutes, you're like, yes, we can play the game.
Yeah.
And then it screws up.
Who remembers blowing in the Nintendo cartridge was a magic?
I do that all the time to my cell phone when I can't get reception. I do. Just because it's muscle memory, I can't get reception. I go, oh, what am I doing?
Dang it, it doesn't work.
Just blow on it.
I don't remember how we figured out that was a thing you could do.
You gotta get the dust
on
out,
the Nintendo.
Man.
Yeah, it travels fast on the schoolyard. I guess. How long have you guys been together playing?
We started Parmalee in 2001, so
But we were playing music together before 2001, probably 99, 98.
Yeah. But Barry and I, you know, first cousin Scott, we grew up together. So we were playing from the time we were kids. But we started, us four started playing together.
Were y'all like a rock band or something first? Or what were y'all doing before? I mean,
we really tried.
We didn't know what the hell we were doing, man.
Is there any of the old stuff online anywhere that Bubba could pull up?
Let's take a look.
Man, when we got here, it was pretty much wiped out. You know, they were like, look, guys, we're going to do this. We just want you guys to get rid of all this old stuff. And so but we tried, you know, the thing was when we first got together, we tried to write six songs, and it was six completely different styles of songs. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, we had like a rock funk song, like a southern rock song,
a reggae song,
and
a country song.
It was so funny, man. And then we had some guys that were like, you guys need to – we wrote this one song, and they were like, you need to be writing, you know, in this direction. So they were like, listen to these bands. You should write like this. You should be this. And we didn't know what we were doing. It wasn't until we wrote Carolina did we kind of figure out, okay – this is who we are. This is our sound. This is what we, you know, are here to do.
It's like you came home. Here, you can plug your phone right there.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm scared. Did you find some old stuff?
Oh, God.
Okay. Actually, the whole album is on YouTube.
The whole album's on YouTube?
Oh, God.
Now, what, so now, this, hard to now, what year would this be? What year would this be?
This was David Bendeth. This was the one we did in New York called Inside. When was that, Matt? You know the date.
This was recorded in 2002.
You want to hear Blink?
2002.
But it was us trying to be a rock band and me trying to sing way wrong.
Oh, I
just registered
this.
A domain on GoDaddy.
You know, you hit those buttons kind of goofy and you never know what you're doing.
All right, let's see.
All right. This is Parmalee?
Yeah.
What?
Good old fashioned country music, man.
She was a Sunday girl. Hair pulled back and a bottle in her hand. Covered in silver rings, she liked to tease, but I didn't get her name. All I want is.
This is during the strip club days.
Actually, man, this is pretty good. You guys
that
were
so crazy.
You guys were Nickelback before Nickelback.
Well, that was what we were directed to do. Like the guys were like, "Listen to this. This is what you need to be doing." And this was a big time producer.
And was it Nickelback you were listening to?
They were telling us they were playing us these songs, and they're like, "You guys are rock band. You need to do this." But the songs we were kind of
stuff we were writing was not going that way.
The stuff that he didn't understand was the stuff that got us to. Where we are.
It's the same thing with radio shows and all that. You always have these consultants, and I guess they kind of play the role of the producer. You have these consultants who tell you, oh, yeah, well, you have to have your defined roles. You have to have Mr. Straight, Mr. Crazy, Mr. Wacky, mm-hmm. Miss this person, and the traffic guy. And it's all wrong. It's terrible because what they forget is what you need is compelling personalities. You need somebody who's interesting that you want to hang out with.
Well, it's like making if you're cooking, all right? So you can have a recipe and you can follow that recipe every single time. And you can go to your house and you can follow that recipe every time and make the same thing that I made. But the difference is it doesn't taste like grandma's because grandma didn't follow that recipe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Grandma followed a kind of a rough version of that, but she had all kinds of her own things. She used that special pan.
And she cooked from her heart, man.
She had the special. She raised the chickens, so the chicken tasted different.
She knew their names.
It's different. And that's the same way. And it's the same way with the band, you know.
Show. We had no idea what we were doing. We were just a bunch of country boys getting together trying to do what we saw on TV.
At what point did it click in you guys? I mean, you said earlier with Carolina, but I mean, was it like an instant realization or was it something where you guys kind of slow burned?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned
slow burn.
You mentioned Nickelback because we were in LA doing an album, doing some writing, and Nickelback's manager, John Greenberg, walks in the room and listens to the music and he says, can you say the F word up here?
No.
Let's not.
Okay. Florida? What the are y'all doing in L.A.? Y'all need to go to Nashville now. And we said, okay. So we came to Nashville, did some songs here. And I think that's when we really, had some songs that were like, okay, we've kind of found our niche here.
He was listening to you guys do the what we just heard, and he said that you belonged in Nashville?
No, it was after this. Well, we were just doing some writing out there, just writing what we really felt and what came easy to us, and it was country music. And it was a rocking side of country music. And trying to push towards the
was
rock.
Was that like, must have been a good time? Must have had a good time.
Must have had a good time.
Was that like during that era?
It was before. This was 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out, we were trying to do, you know, the guys are pushing us here and pushing us there. And we were writing these songs that were kind of like more on the countryside. And we went out to L.A. and recorded some of them. And guys were like, you should be in Nashville. So I know this guy in Nashville. He mixes Kenny Chesney's records. And you should go work with him. I'll get in touch with him. So we said, all right, how much? When can we be there?
Yeah, we kept getting handed over to different producers to wanted to do this, wanted to do that. And we were just down for anything because we're like, well, at least we're getting to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that kind of led to nothing, really. It didn't lead to Doodly Squad. We came out and
the band, happened. The rock stuff that we just heard, that was still called Parmalee?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So your fans must have been really confused. Like the OGs, they show up to a show expecting what we just heard, and they come out and there's Carolina.
Well, you know, it morphs. It gets...
Well, you got to understand, when we were doing these shows, we were still playing Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On during those shows. We were still playing Allman Brothers songs during those shows. So our fans, when we moved over, the diehards, they were like, yeah, okay, we've seen you kind of do this all along. Never put out a record like that, but, you know.
That's so crazy, yeah, man.
It
And I was going to say that, you know, anybody who goes, well, they're not real country. No, you have to understand, everybody goes through phases. And, you know, I mean, here I am, you know, country DJ dude, and I've worked in rock and rap, and I've done all that stuff. I've hung out with Boys to Men on the set of videos and, you know, just goofy stuff. It's all part of who all that is. It brings you to where you are now.
Well, it's silly to think that people only like one kind of music, too.
Get in that box. Get in that box.
I mean, you know, we are a rock and roll band at heart. You know, never we're just country got boys and grew up country, and you know the music we play and the stuff we heard growing up was what we heard and still shapes us. So I always say we're the country side of a rock band, not the rock side of a country band, if that makes any sense. But yeah, it took us a minute, but it went from that, from being pushed into that and telling us, you know, do this, to kind of the next album after this was leaning into what we're doing now. We did an EP, and it had the first version of Carolina on that, which is not the version you hear now. And it had a couple
what's
more
the
songs.
Do you have that?
Yeah, sure.
I want to hear that.
Let me dig
unplug
it up.
Unplug, and we'll plug the other phone
all
in.
Right.
Like, what was different about it?
Like,
in a different key?
Yeah.
Really?
It really is. Here you go, Matt.
That's it, right?
Yeah, there was no slide guitar right. on this version.
You ready?
Yeah. Here, just move your mic if you want to talk about it.
I should be playing. You have it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I had it down.
Here, that's it, yeah.
No, I mean, because I'm so used to hearing it. She feels like Carolina, looks like
California, shining like those New York lights. Oh, yeah.
It's almost like there's a rock band covering Carolina.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
Strange, man.
It's so weird. It's like real. We're like, yeah, I get
it's
it.
It's close. If you like Parmalee, you like Parmalee.
Parmalee. Yeah, guys with the afros.
Oh my gosh, you guys should come out one day for Halloween, and y'all should be Parmalee.
We did it.
We did. Can you find the picture?
I can find the picture.
Oh my god, we even had the logo and everything.
Oh wow, that's so great.
So yeah, I mean, you know, we were just doing our thing, and finally, when we got out here to Nashville and started working with the producers, they were able to take, you know, that and they're like, here guys, let's try it this way. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. But you know, you live and learn, and you coming from where we were at, and I mean, there was really nobody to kind of coach you or help you out. You're kind of on your own to write and to figure things out. So
yeah,
You also
oh, that is fantastic.
Show the camera.
Permalee.
Permalee. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, you know, do you guys remember where you were when you found out that you got signed?
Oh, yeah. We sure did.
Was it that bad?
Well, we were in
Greenville when they called us up and said the deal is ready to be signed. And we had been a band for over 10 years at that point.
Who called to tell you the deal was ready to be signed?
The Broken Bow. So we came out and did
it. Did your lawyers look at it first and this is where you got there? Or?
Well, it was, we're going to give you guys, I think the moment that we realized it was when we did a showcase for BBR in February of 2011, and Benny Brown, the owner of the label, came up to us after the showcase and said, "You did it, boys. You passed the test." And so this was February. "You did it, boys. You passed the test." So to me, that was, we're getting a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this was February.
So we went back home.
And, you know, broke is a joke. Nobody really.
But all excited because you know it's coming.
Super excited.
Because you passed the test.
Yeah, because we passed the test and we're happy, you know, we're great. And, you know, we're going to get a record deal. And then I think a month later, we get a call from our producer. He's like, "Hey, man, is y'all on drugs, man?" I was like, What? He's like, "Yeah, man." It's like, he's the producer. He's like, "Yeah, Benny was asking. He was listening to some of these songs y'all turned in, you know, from y'all, you know, referencing something about
addiction,
being addicted, and would heaven even want me anymore, and all this stuff. And he had this band before, and these guys worked with, and
they were on drugs.
Yeah.
And,
can y'all come take a drug test?"
What?
What?
Yep. And we're like, "What? Can you take it?" And we're like, "Yeah, of course. We'll take a drug test."
I was like, "Give me like a week."
No, we did. Drove all the way to Nashville from North Carolina, 11 hours away. Came
to pee
here
in a cup.
Drug test. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
And then we passed it. And
you passed that test too.
Yeah,
we
passed,
or did you fail that test? Yeah. I forget which one you want to do.
God.
Now, what was funny was watching everybody else at the label freak out because they thought everybody was going to have to get drugged.
All the artists, everybody was like, "What are they doing?" But you know, but that was like, oh man. But we did that, and it was July when we finally came up to sign the deal. So once we signed it, we're like, oh, we finally got it signed. You know, so it was.
Several months,
you know, mm-hmm. in limbo. And I think if you're out here having stuff happening in town, it's okay. But we were back home with nothing going on.
Waking up every morning going, "When are they going to call? When are they going
to
call?"
And I mean,
that had to drive you crazy.
Oh, my God.
Well, remember
when
they finally did call, they were like, "We got the stuff ready." We're like, "All right, we'll be there tomorrow." And it was like a 14-hour drive. They're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, it's ready, but we still need a couple days to get it together."
Yeah. We're like, we're on the way no matter what. We're on the way. But that was cool, man.
I don't think I've ever heard quite a story like that for signing a new band. That's insane.
It was crazy.
Take a drug test?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the crazy thing is, you know, getting up to actually getting a record deal. We had been out here. This was 2010. We came out here to write because we had Carolina, that version you heard, and then this country artist was going to release it. We were just back home, and this guy's like, "I'm going," and they're putting it out to radio. It's another guy. And so we're like, "Cool. We wrote the song. We're going to go to Nashville and just live in the parking lot for a month, and maybe somebody will write with us because we wrote a song that this artist is putting out to radio." Like, we had no idea it was way a shot in the dark. Nobody cared about us or wanted to write with us. But so we lived in the Tin Roof parking lot.
In our RV.
In our RV.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
You remember that parking lot?
Yeah.
For like a month, we just parked there, and we're like, "Hey, we wrote this song. Did
anybody
knows,
want to write with us?
This artist
please?
That nobody knows."
Was that before they put up the big condos?
This was 2010. Yeah.
Wow.
And so we lived in that parking lot, and we met. That's where we met David Fanning, who ended up being our producer and introduced us to New Voice, who's the production team, which is Jason Aldean's band. Those guys introduced us to the Broken Bow record label. All that stuff happened because we were out in that RV. We wrote Must Have Had a Good Time in that parking lot.
In the RV.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that all went down, and those guys, for the first time, they're like, "We want to give you a production deal, meaning we want to cut two songs with you guys, and then we want to be able to shop it to the label." So we, and they said, come back in July, and we did, and we came back in July, and we cut Must Have Had a Good Time in the version of Carolina You Hear Now before we had a record deal. And so the idea was, cool, we'll come back in like in a few months, something like November, we'll come be back in town and just be present and maybe play some showcases and stuff. So it's July, and first time we'd ever had a production, real production deal, first time we had a record label kind of, we're going to get courted to a record label for real. People on your team, Nashville, finally out here. This was July, and in September, that's when Scott got shot. So imagine being in a band, 2001, 2010. You had this stuff out. You did good regionally, up and down, up and down. You finally get out here where you belong, and something's finally happening. You got a hit. You have a number one hit song that you've already recorded, and you feel good about it. It's not a number one hit yet, but you have that in your pocket, and then it's all going good, and then boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Derailed. It's like, how in the world's that happened?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. And by the way, that story is, wasn't that, didn't that have to do with the RV? Weren't they trying to break in the RV?
Yeah, it was in the RV.
It was, it all happened in the RV. We were playing outside that club, and you know, after a Monday night after the show, somebody knocks on, to get you, Scott and I are in the RV, and you hear a knock on the door, and I thought it was Barry and Josh. I mean, it had the door locked, obviously. And I unlocked it and said, what's up? And, you know, here comes a gun at my head. Give me your effing cash, and pushes me up in the RV.
And fires a shot.
Give me your effing cash, you know, unloads inside. And, I mean, Scott was in the back with his he was in the back. He's a concealed carrier. So he had to actually chamber a bullet, and he came out and pretty much shot both of them.
Yeah.
But he got shot three times in the midst of it. And I mean, you're talking about a hallway as wide as this table here.
Yeah, smaller.
Yeah. And I mean,
in an RV, it's tiny.
Yeah, and I was in there, and the other guy was in there too. And so we didn't get shot.
Five people were in there.
Yeah.
In a small place.
So, I mean,
very close quarters.
It was, I mean, I was deaf for a month at least, pretty much.
Is everything in slow motion in those situations?
I don't know. See, yeah, in a way. I guess it is, but then it goes by so fast. It's intense. Your adrenaline is just beyond your body, from what I can remember.
It's funny what you remember, because I remember when I walked on, y'all were both sitting on the floor, and it was just so smoky in there.
Yeah,
just like crazy, just from the gun smoke.
So that happened. You're at the highest point of your career. All this stuff is happening, and it's amazing. And you're finally getting a shot, and then it goes from that to this. In an instant, you know.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden we're in mode of like, oh man, you know,
it was straight up, let's get Scott better mode. That's all it was. I mean, he was in a coma for 10 days. We didn't know if he was going to wake up. And
40 days in the hospital. They sent him home.
Everything on hold completely, because you weren't playing then. You weren't
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I never left the hospital for the whole time.
Yeah.
None of us did.
Yeah.
Big shout out to our fans that were fans from, you know, they had these albums and stuff, and that they all put together, helped Parma Lee Fund and raised money. A lot of friends just kicked in, and communities reached out and raised money for us, did golf tournaments, and, you know, put some money in the bank so we could just basically just pay rent and help pay his credit card bills and hospital bills, and just kind of get us through it. So that was the focus. It's like, all right, we got to get Scott better. So we were doing like double PT in the hospital. We were doing like, get him out of here. And mind you, like he got shot in his femoral artery. So he had to have a fasciotomy on his right leg, meaning they filleted his calves on both sides to release
like the pressure,
like a lymphatic fluid out of it. And he had these tubes and
vacuums,
and vacuum things and all that stuff. So he had drop foot in his kick leg, meaning he couldn't pick his foot up.
His right foot was numb for months. So he couldn't feel that part that he uses to kick the kick drum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when we did the showcase, after he had to learn how to walk again, and after that, he still could not feel that foot. He had to literally use his leg to make it do what it was going to do.
And we hid all this from the label. We didn't let them know how bad it was.
What? Yeah. Really?
In a timeline, this
is... Well, yeah, because they could have used it as an out or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was the September before that February that we did the showcase. So this happened, and then 4 months later, we did that showcase. And we kind of didn't let them on to how bad it was. We were just like, we got to do the showcase. Mm-hmm. So they had like a leg brace.
We had to help him walk on stage. And they were like, who's this guy I think he is? Elvis or something?
Yeah.
But you know, that big hug afterwards was like, you guys did it. You passed the test. And, wow. You know, so that was a yeah. cool moment.
He didn't realize exactly how many tests you guys passed that
yeah,
night.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. That was the first test. Then we got the second test, the drug test.
The drug test. What if you gone through all that and then flunked the drug test?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
They've been like, well, everyone passed, but Scott, he's got some weird stuff in his system. Yeah. Oh,
that was the thing, too. He's like, you know, I mean, he's
his
having
blood
to heal,
is green.
So. So, yeah, man.
Is security a big thing on the road for you guys now? I
mean, it is
you
now.
Obviously, think about it.
Back then, it was just us four. We didn't have anybody helping. It was always just us. We did everything ourselves. And for years, we might have a friend come out with us. From that point on, it was we had people with us. And, you know, once we got a crew, we always had guys with us. And lock the doors, go
every
to the safe
time.
Side of town. Like, you know, it's
like, even whenever you're at an arena or whatever you might be at, do you still – everything's all locked? Because I know a
always.
Lot of people don't.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the first rule we give any crew guys. Like, lock the door. I don't care if you're going out to smoke a cigarette. Lock
the
door.
Do you explain to them what happened?
Yeah, most of them know. But I'm like, you know, just lock the door, man.
Well, you know, there are you don't know how many you get fans.
Yeah.
And in your situation, it wasn't a fan issue, but it was. You can have. Was it? It wasn't.
No. Okay. Yeah. I think they were at the show actually.
But you can have people who. See Matt look around like, what was that? I hate to say stalker, but I had a stalker, and it started off
innocent-ish,
and then it got kind of creepy. But we ended up calling him, and we called him on the air.
Really?
Oh my! You talk about riveting radio.
Couldn't turn the station, man, because we're like, we're calling the stalker.
Oh, my God. I got to hear about what happened, man.
Okay, so this guy would – so when people text the show, the way that we have it set up, it pops up on our heads-up monitors. So when we're in the show, we're not looking at a phone. It comes over a computer screen. So we see all the – and they just run. Mm-hmm. And so I have to go through and see which ones I want. I try to respond to as many as I can. But you know,
just a reminder, please give us your name. That way we can always give you props whenever we do read your text.
So
there you go. Yeah.
So we would get this thing. I remember one day Bubba said, it was like in the afternoon, he sent me a screenshot and said something.
It was a screenshot from
Facebook. And said, hey, man, some dude really likes your gaudy beard, meaning he's trying to say goatee, but spelled it gaudy.
Like John Gotti.
So we always make fun, you know, when it's obvious bad grammar, you know, always say something about it. And so I honestly didn't think much about it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, dude, next couple of days, like, dude, this some guy is like.
Just wearing me out.
Wearing me out about you. I'm like, well, you know, whatever. Still didn't think much about it. Then he starts texting the show. And lucky for him and me, I'm the one who gets most of it because Bubba's too busy literally running the board and all that kind of stuff. So I
doesn't seem like I do anything right now, but during the show, it's actually kooky.
It's really he's the most busy person technically from on the show. Anyway, so I start seeing this guy and I see Gaudy Beard pop up. I'm like, dude, it's Gaudy Beard guy. And so I replied and I was like, I was really nice. I was like, okay, thanks, you know, man, that's cool. Glad you enjoyed the show, whatever. Mm-hmm. Left it at that. Then it kept getting more, like, just more, like, talking.
A little snowball, kind of.
Trying to engage me in conversation. Uh-huh. I just don't have time, so a lot of times it's short responses, like you would in, like, a meet and greet line.
Yeah, sure.
And so then, and that goes on for, I don't know, maybe weeks. I don't remember. And then I start getting pictures. Because people can text pictures in.
Uh-oh. Oh,
and God. I remember getting one, and people do that occasionally, you know, whatever, I just move on. But it's usually not dudes. And I get this picture, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what body part that is. Like, what is that?
It's just something furry.
It's really hairy.
You got to know.
And it's really hairy, and then there's a bend. Yeah.
They thought I was showing pictures.
You try, you want to see it? Like, what a freak you are.
No, I was showing something else.
And so I'm like, ah, oh, jeez, man. So I'm like, hey, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to see that. You know, I'm trying to be nice. You know, I don't want to. You know, it's a fan, and then now I'm starting to realize something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start getting more explicit stuff, and then I have his number.
Because he texts us every day.
And so I'm like, hey, you know, you need to stop sending me stuff, okay?
The more you said stop, the more you said stop, the more he got clingy.
And so it was constantly. He would send me 80 text messages at a day.
Wow. No way.
Minimum.
Yeah, I would come in the next morning. And so it keeps the ones that people have been sending that I wasn't here for. And I would see just rows. Big D, you there? Big D, hey, Big D, I like your Gotti beer. Big D, do you want to be my friend? Big D, I like your Gotti beer.
A lot of be my friends.
Over and over and over and over.
We should be friends.
We should be friends over and over and over and over.
We should hang, Stan.
So I know where he's at.
Yeah. But
area, anyways. Yeah. So I contact the sheriff's department there. There's a private investigator had reached out on the show and was like, hey, I think I can help. And he was helping and trying to get information and relatives who are related to this person because of Facebook, I could see names and that kind of stuff. And it was weird, man. Like the local law enforcement, I felt like they knew who he was. Uh-huh. But they just kind of acted dumb. That was my feeling I got.
Oh, really?
Like he had issues before.
Right. So it wasn't getting resolved. And this guy kept going on and on and on. And so finally, it's one morning, I was like, dude, we're just calling him. I'm just going to tell him, stop doing that. So you hear us go, all right, coming back, we're going to call Big D's stalker.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, take a break, come back. And I'm literally sick to my stomach.
Like, I can remember he was shaking. So his hands were like just.
I'm like, ugh. Call this guy.
Because you don't know how it's going to go.
Call it.
Yeah. You don't have a clue.
Yeah. It's here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Rings. Hello? Hey, it's Big D. Hey. Hey, Big D. I like your beard. Cool, man. Listen, I wanted to let we're friends. I go, you know, you cross the line and I can't have you send me that kind of stuff, you know? And I appreciate you listening. I'm glad you're a fan, but you know, it's going to,
we
know,
did mention
cut at this.
I was doing something. We did mention that he was sending pictures of those areas.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And so I was like, yeah, you can't send the picture.
How'd you miss that part?
Because I was doing stuff.
And so I don't know, man. And it went on and on and on. And he just was like, I want to be your friend. Let's be friends. Let's be friends. We can be friends. And finally, for some reason, man, I said, because I could kind of hear something in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what was his name again?
Brian.
I go, Brian. Yeah. Put your mom on the phone.
Oh, man.
Then he said,
and everything totally changed and got weird. You hear.
There was like 30 seconds of fumbling.
Just like, and you hear.
Really?
Why? What's wrong? I go, and then I know I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We just got to reel this sucker. And I go, put your mom on the phone right now. I need to talk to your mother, Brian, right now. Put your mom on the phone. Now, this guy, I've seen him. He's like 35 years old, but I think there's some issues.
Obviously, going on. Yeah.
And so it ends with, do you have the whole clip?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have, all I have is just the gold part.
I was like, okay. He was like, you don't need to talk to my mom. I said, you need to stop calling me and stop sending all these texts, okay? Just settle down and, you know, take it easy, okay? And that way your mom doesn't have to know. And then you hear this.
I'm sorry.
That's the same silence we had on the air.
Oh, my Lord.
And we were all like,
that's my ringtone for Big D, by the way.
Whenever
Big D
calls me. Is that what you played for me earlier when I was like?
Yeah.
Oh.
It plays at the end of every podcast.
Oh, my God.
I don't know, man. There's something in that. It's. I could whisper, I'm sorry. You could. But it's not. I don't know what it is about this one. The creep factor through the roof.
I got chills.
The hair is standing up.
And I just finished watching Mindhunter. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Oh, I love it. Are you in season two?
Dove Dunn.
Oh, you've already seen two?
I've seen two.
Oh, I'm halfway
awesome,
through
it. This is
just added it, so I'm pretty pumped to start.
Right.
See, that was my fear. Weird. See, that was my fear because he's not that far away. Mm. And I was like, you know, I'm telling you, I told a state trooper, the investigation unit, I was like, I'm telling you, if this guy walks out onto the field where my son's playing, I'm going to shoot him.
Hey.
I'm telling you, I was to that point where it was really scary.
Your whole family was freaked out by the whole thing.
I mean, we had your
wife, everybody.
So, you know, like he would want to know like where I live and let's go hang out. And I think it was in his mind so innocent and he didn't really mean anything by it.
Yeah.
But there was some when you're dealing with mental issues like that, you don't know what's going to happen. And I was not going to let my family get the brunt of it because I wasn't proactive.
That's right. Crazy.
Have you guys had any stalker issues?
Yeah, that means yes. Yeah,
it's okay. You don't have to dive into
not
it. But
really,
yeah, I mean,
not
it,
really.
I think it comes with the territory.
Didn't we get some kind of message the other day?
I mean, there's been small occasions. I wouldn't say anything to that extent, but yeah, there was a IHateParmalee.com created. Remember that?
I forgot about that.
And what was their deal?
I forgot about that too.
Evidently, he thought that we had stole his girlfriend or something like that. When I don't even think we had her number. She was just hanging out at the shows. And we saw him at a show one night with a broken beer bottle walking around.
What?
And we had to get security after him.
He started a website?
Yeah, IHateParmalee.com.
He doesn't use this anymore.
Oh, well. Good, good. I feel like these are people hanging around. Well, back in the day, more than stalkers, like show up at the house and there's people there. Back when we lived in Greenwood,
that was innocent.
I was going to say that's different than somebody who's literally just stalking you. Like I had somebody, this is years ago, who was a detective, and literally this is like in the infancy of the internet, dude. She knew everything because she had all the tools of the trade. And she would send gifts to the house for our kids and just weird. I'm like,
yeah, that's weird.
I'm like, you've got to stop. You know, stop. So I literally called the, her boss basically and said, hey, look, we have a problem. This is kind of weird and kind of creepy because I keep saying stop, kind of like Big D's, and it won't stop.
Did you get pictures?
No, I didn't get pictures.
I remember I was. You reminded me of a story. I think I was 19, maybe. I was playing in the band with my dad. And I might have been 17, I think, when I was playing with him. And I was going down to the clubs with him, and this young lady approached me, and she was an attorney. And she told me that that I was a really good guitar player and that she was really close with Elton John and that he was looking for a guitar player for his next tour or something like that. So,
which they always scout out in Eastern North Carolina.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I was 17, you know, naive, you know, high school kid that just started really getting into guitar and playing. I was playing with my dad, so you know, it was like. And then I remember going to meet her at her office and sitting down with her and talking, and she was just went through this whole like spiel on who she was and how she could hook me up with Elton John and get me the job and all this stuff. So I mean, you know, I told my mom and you know, and it was like, wow, you know, this is going to happen. I'm going to be Elton John's guitar player. Like,
now, was she a legit attorney?
Yes. She had an office downtown that those houses behind in front of the attic.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I went and met her in there and talked to her. And, like, she was just telling me all this BS.
So what happened?
So what'd your mama say?
Well, she went and talked to Mr. Mitchell, I think.
Okay.
He had one
Mama
of his,
wanted some news. She wanted to know.
Somebody checked into her and you know, figured out it was all like BS. She had contracts and everything like written out and somebody checked her and it was like all BS, and she ended up getting fired from that attorney's office.
So what was her end game? Was she trying to get with you?
Yeah, I guess she was trying to get with me, yeah.
Way easier ways.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. At that time, all she had to do was go, hey, so you want to? You'd be like, yeah, sure.
Look at these pictures.
Cash money would have worked way better.
I'm just going to put some Elton John music on.
I guess she went backstage at one of his shows. Somehow one of her friends knew somebody in his camp or something. So that was the artist thing.
That's still crazy.
It was crazy, man. Yeah, she pretty much was.
I mean, to write up the contracts and everything, I mean, that's.
How old was she?
That's a different level.
She was probably mid 30s. And I was probably 17, maybe.
Oh, my word.
Oh, she might have been 40s. I don't know.
Here's the question. Was she attractive?
No.
So do you think that's why the Elton John ruse?
I say what?
That makes sense.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, is that? Do you think that's why she did the Elton angle?
Probably.
She didn't have a shot otherwise.
Has she been really hot though?
I hear, some of these stories that I hear from artist friends about the road, and I'm just like, oh, it's like, what? I can't believe some of the things that people do. It's insane. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like, I can't even tell. I can't even repeat them. Like, they're so.
I can think of three right now that we can't talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a Jimmy Wayne story. Well, who doesn't have a Jimmy Wayne story? But Jimmy came in and told me this story about this chick who came on the bus.
Did we talk about this on the air?
No, God, no. No, this is way.
Should we
way
talk about
blue.
This right now?
No, yeah.
I was about to ask that.
But anyway, it was. I was just like, "Are you kidding? That happens?" He's like, "Yeah, stuff happens, man."
Yeah.
He goes, "Kicked her off the bus." He kicked her off the bus. So he said. So
yeah, stuff happens, man. So, it's crazy. You see some crazy
can
stuff.
We tell the one about the girl taking selfies in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, that's a good story. It's just you know.
So you meet people on the road, you know, and. Some people are cool, you know what I mean? Cool enough to hang out that aren't like
fanned out, meet and greet, normal kind of.
Yeah, so she's on the bus, everything's cool. We're having.
I don't know, she was a friend of somebody that we knew the show.
We knew her pretty much.
Yeah.
And she goes into the bathroom, uses the bathroom, and at the end of the night, she leaves her phone on the bus. It's normal, happens. So we get her phone. Try to figure out the contact to contact her friend or whatever to get her phone back. And we look, and there's selfies of her in the bathroom taking pictures on the toilet.
On the toilet. Hey, you know, I'm in Parmalee's bathroom.
Like completely, completely different than when she was acting like hanging out.
You know? She wanted to take pictures of herself peeing, in the, like just so her friends know she's in the bathroom. Oh, Parmalee's bathroom peeing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's how you know you're one of my real friends, though, is if I text you a picture of me out on the toilet, I'm like, look, I'm on the toilet. So maybe that's her thing. She was planning on doing that and sending it to you, going, look, we're friends now. Here I am peeing.
The thing is, I mean, if you come on the bus, it's like cameras down. It's not you don't need everybody taking pictures and while you're sitting next. Some people get overwhelmed. So if she snuck the camera, and the only picture she could get was in the bathroom where we didn't see she had camera
but
out.
Here's the scary thing. Here's what's frightening. Is that you did not pick up that she had a completely different personality.
Right. Agreed.
That was what you would have never been around.
Exactly.
And she knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it
Absolutely.
Was calculated so that she knew if she was her real self, the crazy, wild, weird fan, whatever you want to call it, you would have never, she would never been on the bus.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So she was just trying to be cool. And then, hey, man, what happens? I mean, think about. If you hadn't found out that.
Yeah.
That's her Facebook picture. You couldn't prove it was our bus. You know what I mean? I want in the picture.
That's what you do. You go, that's not our bus.
That's not our bus.
Yeah,
it is.
We have a blue toilet.
Yeah. There's nothing, I think, more annoying than that when you see the camera come out side hip or something when you're doing, and you're like, what are you doing? At a party or something.
I would rather just take it, blatantly go, hey, we're taking a shot, and take it,
yeah,
and just be done.
Yeah.
Because then it's less intrusive. I know it sounds crazy because you're putting it in somebody's face, but it is less intrusive than trying to hide it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
if you're trying to hide it, then it's not as cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be 8.5 by 11 pictures that you would sign.
Yep.
It's not that anymore. It's all, everyone wants selfies now.
Nobody really wants autographs as much anymore.
That's right.
No. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
It's crazy.
But I never understood autographs anyway. Like, people go like, hey, I got an autograph of so-and-so. I'd be like.
I have a couple that when I was a little kid, I got like Hank Aaron's autograph. Man, I still hang on to that because I'm like, dude, I met Hank Aaron.
I think it's more about the remembering the moment.
You were there,
like,
yeah.
I was there and I got him to.
I would never sell it. Like, I would never do like one of those things where you just collect the autograph to try to profit off of.
Right.
But I just always think of, yeah, you're right. It brings you to that moment. Yeah. I remember exactly the moment he turned back. There was 15 other kids at that point, and he turned back and said, you, and just. I was like, yes,
really?
I'm the chosen one.
It's like in Toy Story. Even the claw picks him up. So are you guys working on a new album now?
Yeah, man. We have, I was just down in Atlanta working last night.
With Elton John?
Yeah, with Elton John, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I was working with Elton John last night. Yeah, man, we got a lot of stuff on the burner right now and constantly writing and recording, but it's a... Got some good stuff, man. I'm really, really excited about this new stuff coming out.
Is the new Be All Right is the mm-hmm. new?
Yeah, that's the new single out now. Yeah,
and then so when do you think the new album will be done?
Man, I don't know because I mean it's more on the single cycles now. I feel like until you get a collection of songs that you feel like will make a good project.
Do you guys ever think that there? Bubba always kind of thinks throws this idea out there that. Albums are going to be done.
I've been saying this for 10 years.
Yeah,
I definitely
since
think
like
that.
iTunes was first out. I said, why would you ever put an album out now?
What's the point?
Right?
Because they ruined albums whenever they made it 99 cents to get a song.
You're exactly right.
You know, and then it went to $1.29. But the point is, people just go and they buy the song that they like, and they don't worry about the rest of the album. Nobody's into discovery as much anymore, mm-hmm. and it's sad. Because albums are great to just listen to, you know, from beginning to end and let it go back on repeat or whatever. But, yeah, I think there's no need to put all that work into it because you got to go with the art. You have to get all the cover photos and the this and that.
All, man, the stuff that we used to like looking at, right?
Yeah, but they don't. Nobody's into that anymore. Nobody's into the liner notes. Nobody wants to see who played mandolin on track 7. Not anymore.
Not really.
And another thing is... You have to do the videos and the content and all that for every single song now because it's all digital, you know.
Yeah, so a lot of work that goes behind one song.
I do like the video, the album videos. Like I know, like several artists do. Like they'll do the album, but every song is a video.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's, you know, like you get it on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. I kind of like that.
I do too.
I said this before. I think
Patrick,
maybe in another
up,
podcast. Well, there's so many people in here. I'm just like, I'll let you guys all talk.
From?
But Patrick's no, in there taking pictures of himself and sending them to me.
Absolutely.
He's on your bus. I got a parking lot.
He's in the bathroom.
What? What is that? I was walking through a record label. It wasn't your guys' label.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved to a new office, and a friend of mine works there. He's like, let me just show you around. And what is this huge, you know, office?
Palatial
suite.
Palace.
Yeah. And we finally get past this one thing. This is a big, giant office. With like 6 people working, and she goes, and this is the art department and graphics. This is where they make all the album covers and all the art used for everything. And I went, and I was just like, are you serious? You got 6 people working in here and all this equipment and stuff to make album covers that nobody ever sees.
That's why, that's why y'all can't recoup.
This is, yeah, yeah, like.
Exactly.
What is that? An album cover is a thing on your phone that's this big now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
That's it. There's no...
Yeah, but they can maybe turn the art into something for like a Snapchat video or an Instagram story or something.
I love the album covers from the albums that I had, and there's still people who buy CDs and vinyl, and I get it, but we're spending way too much money on that stuff.
I remember talking to Brett.
I like lyric videos.
I was signed to Brett Michaels when he was kind of doing the country push for a little while there. And
yeah.
we were talking about recouping and stuff, and I mentioned it in there in passing, but recouping is a kind of a broad stroke for how a lot of deals are done for artists. We were on a recoup deal for many years, and it's horrible because there's the way it works is, hey, okay, I'm gonna give you $100. Just make it simple. I'm gonna give you guys $100 a year,
And then we split everything after that.
And we're going to spend all this money on all this stuff, and you guys are responsible for basically.
Yeah, I remember going, oh, wow, so we'll get to split half of the ad revenue on our contract with our
rich.
Old company. I was like, I started doing the money in my head, and I was like, dude, that's insane stupid money.
No.
And so they start doing these. The best one was with that photo shoot. Was they wanted us to do new pictures. I'm like, okay, cool. So Patrick was like, okay, my ex-wife, or at the time, wife can do it. And they're like, well,
we have a guy, and we rented a studio, and we have a hair person and a makeup person and a stylist, three different people.
And catering.
And a girl who came in from L.A. to oversee the shoot, and we're going to have catering there for lunch, and we have all these different outfits picked out from the stylist and stuff. It was $11,000 for a photo shoot of these two fat idiots. When you know how many pictures I got out of it?
One
picture. They photoshopped. Yes. They photoshopped the one picture I got.
Like, for some reason, they didn't like my watch. Yeah. And I had my hand kind of tucked in my pocket. Uh-huh. So they photoshopped my watch out and extended my arm like 5 inches. So
it looks like he's got this freaky long skinny arm.
It's like this alien arm, the spindly, you know, straight off of Project Blue Book.
My favorite was they had to do a photo touch up on something, and they used John Boy or Billy? They used John Boy and Billy, and they used, I think, Billy's arm or something because they had it on file.
Here's the actual story. We had a station, a very tropical station, I'll just leave it at that, who they didn't like the photos because we're wearing long sleeve shirts.
Because they're like, nobody in our market wears long sleeve shirts. I'm like, okay.
So they said, well, we're not going to retake the shots. We said, we'll just take pictures. And they're like, oh, no, we're going to fix it with the Photoshop and the art department.
Yeah, put their heads on two other dudes' bodies wearing long short sleeve shirts.
Yes.
And it looked like I did it. In Microsoft Paint.
Bubba had age spots on his arm.
Like, I looked like a 75-year-old man.
What is up with your arms? They look spotty.
And like the arms, you know how like old guys have like where they lost all their muscle? So their arm is just kind of,
just kind of flabby-ish.
I'm like, no. Yeah. No. I mean, I know I'm not a model.
$11,000 for one photoshopped picture.
So that's when I realized, oh my God,
this is broken.
Per our contract, every quarter they had to send us an accounting list of what they charged against us.
Do you guys get that too? It's interesting to see the stuff that you are paying for.
So we got it. We start looking at it. Was it the first or second one?
It was like the second one. So, the first one we took for granted because we're like, this is going to be great.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. We got a cool, you know, I feel all important. Bubba calls me and goes, dude, did you get that thing from insert company here? I go, yeah, I haven't opened it yet. He goes, why don't you go open it? I start looking at it line by line of what's going on. They had us paying for security services at Van Nuys Studios, Van Nuys, California.
They had us paying for different stuff for facilities all over the country that we don't even use.
I'm like,
hey man, but you got to pay your share.
I was like, what?
Everybody pays their share. I'm like,
that's interesting because why would they? If they're paying it, somebody's on the inside getting that paycheck.
You've just got to hold people accountable. And I think that was when the beginning of the end began with that company. When you held their feet to the fire and said, no, you got to be accountable. We're in this together. It's a partnership. It's not indentured servitude. And that was the end of that. But that's how we ended up here.
Anyway, this is pretty cool. I say this. Brett was like, he was talking about how he had to take a meeting. And they were going to fly out to have this meeting with him. And he was like, he was on the phone talking. I could hear him. Of course, I'm listening. And and I hear him, and he's going, okay, so I don't know. Have you ever met Brett?
I have briefly. We played some shows with him.
Okay, he's like, you know, the whole like rock star thing, he's really smart. Like he's not that at all. And he goes, Well, listen, okay, so why are we flying two people out? Okay, well, yeah. Yeah, two words, phone call. Yeah. And I hear him. He says, "So how about because you know because I have to end up I have to eat that per the deal for recoupment. I have to pay for the flights and the hotel and the food and all that.
Yep.
Because when we can just do this over a phone call." And I was like, "That's interesting."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's smart, man. I mean, historically, groups and artists have gotten just completely railroaded. I mean, by paying $5 for sodas in the studio and all this like crazy stories. We're talking to our buddy. Jeremy say they just?
Yeah,
Jeremy from the band Lit. We're friends with those guys. You know, My Own Worst Enemy was 1998 or something.
They just recouped from 98.
Wow, at least
the way the deal was structured, all that. You know, it's like
I had Gretchen Wilson on my podcast, mm-hmm. and she said that she hasn't recouped her first record
from Redneck Woman and all
with freaking Redneck Woman on it that sold 8 million copies.
I thought it was 11 million.
Yeah. Huh?
I thought it was 11 million.
Yeah, whatever. It was freaking
huge.
The biggest airplay record of that year. One of the biggest albums of that decade. But yeah, they didn't recoup because they spent $500,000 on her second video. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the way it's set up.
Shoot it on your phone, guys.
Yeah, we figured
that's what
it out.
I'd be
man.
Telling them.
I want to lengthen one of my arms in one of our pictures.
Is that all you want to lengthen?
He's sitting there thinking, I'm going to get taller. New picture.
Look, it's much better to do the one that's not sleeved up because it's way easier.
Yeah. And my thing is, if they're going to post my head on someone else's body, can it be like,
I would have picked I'd have picked
female.
Who's the guy that does the commercials? For Old Spice on the horse.
Terry Crews.
Yeah. I would have wanted my head on Terry Crews's body.
People would be going,
I don't think this is right.
They gave what? They gave you Joe Biden.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Has Bubba been walking around with like a hat on and no shirt in the sun all the time? How did he look at his tan?
Look, man, it was bad. But anyway, it's
a funny business, man.
It is a really interesting thing to find out.
But you guys are working on a new album, right?
Yeah. Well, that's good.
We're spending millions on it.
Hey, look, we're not saying that to take anything away from it. It's just we understand the struggle is real. You know, so many people, they see an artist and they go, oh, well, this person's loaded. You know, this person only left me $20 for a tip. Yeah. They're in a band. Right. How could they do? You don't know their situation. You don't know anybody's individual situation financially.
That's
so,
true, man.
You know, just because you hear their song on the radio doesn't mean they're rolling around in a Bentley. It doesn't. Now, they might be. But it doesn't mean
Keith Urban does, but
yeah, and ours is divided by four.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I saw this funny. Sorry, trying to funny picture of Snoop Dogg. He had his head on somebody's body the other day. I was trying to find it. Talking about that was hilarious.
They could have put my head on Snoop's body.
That would have been great.
That would have been cool.
It'd have been about
at least you'd have been taller.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Well, okay, well, you guys are working on a new album. Yeah, we'll look for that. And also, the new song is called "Be All Right."
Be All Right. The video's mm-hmm. out. Yeah, the lyric video's about to drop too.
And you can follow them. IHateParmalee.com.
Exactly.
I just looked it up. It doesn't exist anymore.
Is it available? You guys should get it now. Anyway,
you should get it and just mirror it to your Parmalee site.
I go to my GoDaddy and grab it.
Somebody just did. And they
I probably just got it right there.
Yeah. It's good to see you guys.
Good to see y'all too. Thanks for your time, man.
I wish Scott would have been here, but
he better be bringing home some deer meat, man.
Heck yeah,
he better.
Anything you guys want to hit before we walk out? Anything you need to get out there?
Check us out on Instagram at Parmalee Music. We're always up there cutting up and posting some fun stuff. So, yeah, man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Right. So you get to hear the greatest outro song ever done. This is also Patrick, and you'll hear the "I'm sorry" at the very end. Please pay attention.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
God, that's so creepy.
Dude, freaked out, man. Dude's probably listening.